This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I wish he could hear this. He would call every day from the moment he was put in prison, I think until 20. So keep in mind, I'm 11 years old when he's put in prison, until the age of minimum 20, 21, 22. Every day that he could possibly call, he would call for Fajr and ensure that I'm awake.
Wow. So I told my mom and listened to her response. She said, Muhammad, wallah al-azim, I remember it like it was yesterday. She said, Muhammad, no, don't retire me. Are you kidding me? I can do a couple more. I have a couple more years in me. Just save up, keep going. Like, save up, and then when it's at a certain point, then retire me. Even at that point, she didn't feel entitled. Like,
wow.
She would have never believed in a million years that me and Osama would be able to retire her.
I want
to
tell you one thing, Shaykh. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'wat al-mazloom mustajaba."
Yes.
"Da'wat al-ab li-ibnihi mustajaba."
Yes.
And you know, their father has both, and he's making a lot of du'a for them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everyone doing? I'm Abdullah Oduro, and welcome to the Iman Cave, where we discuss issues of male excellence while being grounded in faith. You know, I remember when I was 16 years old, and my mother would walk in the room, knock on the door, and she would ask, "When are you going to get a job? When are you going to do this? Do you have plans?" She saw that there was no real goal that I had in my life. I think this is common for many of us young men. Many of us that are older now, we can recall that time when we were younger and we had no ambition. One of the things that are important, I know for me, as if a man is going to walk into my home and he wants to marry my daughter, I want to know if he has some ambition, if he has a goal, if he's striving to get somewhere. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that if you were going to ask Allah for Jannah, then ask him for Jannah til Firdaus, the highest level of Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. Himmatun aliyah, to have a lofty goal. You cannot get there without ambition. So what we're going to talk today about is that particular characteristic that is needed in our young men and in men in general, to have ambition. Alhamdulillah, we have our mashallah co-host, brother Murad Awad, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect him and his MMA skills and everything that he does in life, inshallah. May Allah bless him. And we have two illustrious guests with us today, mashallah, tabarakallah. We have to my left, brother Usama and Muhammad Al-Ashigi. Alhamdulillah, they have an amazing story, and they are the epitome, mashallah, of examples of brothers that have ambition. But I want to start out, alhamdulillah, with both of you, where you were raised.
Well, it's probably best to keep it connected with our father and our mother, of course. Our favorite person is our mother,
mashallah.
Then our mother, and then our mother, exactly. Alhamdulillah. And then, you know, dad's all right. Alhamdulillah, amazing. It was a very, very normal upbringing and happy.
Happy, mashallah. So when you were at the age of 11 and 10, something happened in your life. What was it that took place in your life that served as a catalyst for further, what we're going to speak about in regards to being someone that had to make some severe choices that required ambition?
I'll add to Osama on the last question too. We were very fortunate to have a lot of family around us. So both of us grew up with so much support that we didn't ever realize what was going on. You know, it was always fun. It was always games. We played outside all the time. But yeah, something did happen when we were 11, 12 years old. My father was incarcerated and, you know, sentenced to life, basically. He was a political prisoner. He was being prosecuted for essentially supporting children overseas, in Gaza specifically.
Imagine you donate funds to a charity organization, or imagine you would like to send funds to Palestine for children, widows, people in need. You can't just send it to, you know, a person in Palestine. You have to send it to a charity organization, which then, you know, has their own procedures, and they distribute the funds. Of course, HLF, the Holy Land Foundation, at the time was the nation's largest Muslim charity organization. The charity organization that was in Palestine was the same charity organization that the United States government funneled their charity money towards to distribute funds and aid to Palestine. And that was presented in the court, right?
Right.
The second trial, the evidence that was put forward was just, it was so obvious at that point that this is bigger than what we had initially thought, right? I think my father also at one point thought that, you know, they were just going to get by this, right? And it wasn't going to be anything serious. But at the second trial, once all of this evidence, hey, we're giving to the same charity organizations, to the same channels that the United States government and a ton of other charity organizations are giving to. Why are we not accusing, you know, all of these other organizations? Exactly. Another piece of evidence that they used, they pulled in a an expert in terror who was unnamed. They would not provide his name. They would not provide his occupation. They just said he's a terrorist expert.
What's that supposed to mean?
It was the first time in history that that was done, and the judge allowed it. And I think there was a common theme in that trial that the judge was very clearly biased and took sides with the government and against Islam and Muslims and had a clear agenda.
It's probably important to note that the first trial, they won. Our father and the four other men actually won. It was a jury trial. One of the jury members, I think,
caused a mistrial.
So this is against the United States government. And we won, alhamdulillah, the first time. And I think that was observed and noted.
And it was achieved in the height of fear of the Muslim community.
Around what year is this, by the way?
Between 03 to 08, essentially, was when all this was happening.
Oh, wow. This is all from the crackdown of 9/11, like the crackdown.
That post.
Trying to find out.
War on terror,
War on terror.
Exactly. America was essentially honing down and really scrutinizing every single Muslim community and trying to essentially take every establishment down that was influential in every Muslim community.
My
dad was one of them, one of five, along with other four great men. So he was eventually sentenced to prison for material support to terrorism and other counts as well.
There's a very good documentary that has two parts on Al Jazeera.
Okay.
It's on YouTube, you can find it. I think it breaks down what we believe to be the truth very well.
The Holy Land 5.
Correct? Holy Land 5 Al Jazeera. And a website called freedomtogive.com.
And Shukri Abu Bakr is also, Shukri Abu Bakr and Mufid, two other men that are also...
That were in this community
that are also in prison, different prisons, but with my father. Two other men, Ouda, Abdurrahman Ouda and
Al-Mizayn
have been released, alhamdulillah. Ouda is here. I only mention all of this because it's not only about our father, right? It's four other great men, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Shukri has the same sentence as my father. So this fight, we're fighting this fight for him just as much as we are for our father. And then, inshallah, Amu Mufid will be out very soon,
inshallah.
So there will be two left.
Inshallah, Allah unites you with your father as well.
But then, Ameen.
Justice will inevitably, inshallah, prevail. You know?
Inshallah.
So you grew up, a lot of times, you know, it's the father that teaches, especially in Palestinian families. You know, I'm Palestinian, so I can speak. You know, usually the father hands off the business. His son, he sets him up, and the son is like sitting in this, in this business, whatever it is. You know, whether it's a gas station, a supermarket, a restaurant, whatever it may be. You know, but he teaches him the ins and outs. I think you guys had to like kind of hold your own and figure things out. How was that process?
Yeah. I will say that highly due to our mother.
Yeah, she.
Alhamdulillah. I was about to say that.
Of course.
So, of course, we were very young.
Yes.
I remember very vividly. I'll share this story. It's one of the only stories I remember of the case. I was so young that, which obviously it's a huge ni'mah that we were that young, right? Again, you're not able to absorb a lot of the, I guess, feelings that you would be able to absorb if you were the age of, for example, my sister, who was older than us. So she was able to kind of visualize and again absorb all of it at a very mature age. Al-Muhim, we kept going to the same courthouse every day. Like, Mama, when are we leaving? Bored, right? Just thinking this is like normal procedure, right?
Yeah.
10 wow. years old, 11 years Amazing. Old, when are we gonna go home? Come on.
That's like getting a license.
Or something. Yeah, something like that. Oh, I'm just cool. like,
Can I take my skateboard with me and skate outside in downtown Dallas? Yeah. Like, while this is all going on. That was my mindset at that time. I remember very vividly taking my skateboard, telling Mama if I could, you know, go skate while this is all going on.
Wallah, it's that trauma here. That's what's so sad, wallah.
But, you know, I feel like it was good because they kept us very ignorant to the entire thing. My mom and our family and everyone made it feel like everything's okay, everything's normal. Barely ever felt that. And I think the only thing truly that we struggled with and that we saw our mom struggle with and, again, had nothing to do with, there was no emotional distress because of no father or anything. Mm-hmm. It was all, we saw our mom struggle work, you know, till 9, 10 p.m., doing documentation, you know, for her school, cooking dinner like a superhero. Like, imagine you have six kids by yourself,
Allah
left with debt, you know, with all this attorney stuff going on. And so that's what we witnessed. We witnessed financial struggle, you know?
Yeah.
And I think growing up, we all knew we were going to be in a better spot no matter what. We were not going to live our whole lives like this. We saw our mom struggle. She tried her hardest. She tried her hardest to make us not feel it, but we can see it wearing down on her, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we experienced. It wasn't the emotional distress. Mm. It wasn't the, we were too young for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
When did it hit you? Like, where? Because you said when you saw, you know, where you said, when did it hit you to where you both said to each other, we got to step up?
Like, around high school, that as I got a little older, I would, like Muhammad said, I was able to absorb, again, keep using the same word, a lot of what my mother was going through. Mm. And so when you get older, you get more and more sad for the trials that she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her working so hard. We lived at the school, basically. I went to the same school that she taught at. Uh-huh. So I would go with her in the morning, and she would stay there all the way till 7, 8 o'clock sometimes. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Come back, cook a 30-minute meal for six kids. Easy. Amazing.
Hot dogs, Alfredo, just some easy things that are
incredible. Incredible. So I always made dua, always made this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think, answered all my du'as. It's crazy. Always made dua that I want to be a part of. I'm not saying I'm the one that, but ya Allah, like, allow us be a part of our mother's retirement. Allow us to be a part of her ability to be mirtaha, to rest. Be relaxed, to rest, right? And now that we're a little bit older, because of how independent and strong she was, it took her a moment to, I always ask her, I say, why don't you ask for things from an authoritative standpoint when it comes to us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, demand.
I'm your mother. I deserve this.
I want this. Right. Yes. In the beginning, she was very hesitant, even though we're her kids.
SubhanAllah.
But now, alhamdulillah, She's very authoritative.
Yeah. Good.
Rightfully wonderful.
So, rightfully so.
It's wonderful. Like she feels entitled is what I'm looking for.
Mashallah, okay.
Authoritative is the wrong word.
But even that, to be honest, his meaning or definition of entitled, my mom is still always so hesitant to ask. Always. Her own sons. And she was always like that as we grew up. And I think that, you know, subconsciously affected us well, as like, we don't ask, we do. You know, she got many, she was offered many handouts from the community, donations, you know, groups that were giving money to different families that were affected by this. She rejected all of it, and she did, and I know that for a fact, and she always told me growing up, we don't take handouts, you know, we're doing this together, yeah, don't worry, all this stuff. And she would remember her credit card very, you know, clearly. And I remember how she would, like, just get over and get to the other side, and the next month and the next month. What Sama, like, was really emphasizing is that she even the entitlement aspect she feels today is so small. She barely, and I think that's truly subconsciously what made us do what we did over the last few years.
And how could you not, Sheikh?
Yeah.
Like, how could you not be ambitious in that, like, concept? You
exactly.
See your mom working that much, you know, leading by the example. Because, sure, effectively, the mom probably felt like she had to teach the girls how to be a woman and teach the boys how to be men as well. Like, she had to, she had to do everything, right? And that's probably why she was, like, you know, making sure she's on top of everything like that, subhanAllah. And look, yani, the product... You know, it made you ambitious. You said she set the standard high for you guys.
Very high.
Right? Yeah. Like the amount of work and whatnot. A lot of times, Sheikh, nowadays, boys don't have that, like...
No.
Like that ambition.
No, not at all, man. I mean, subhanAllah, and you know, I think with the coupling of mom and dad, do y'all still communicate with dad at all?
Of course.
Yeah, mashallah. So, I mean, just those words from dad and then mom being there, together, it's made you the men that you are today, you know, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq. When you mentioned how, you know, your mother, you know, was one of the, you've seen her struggle, you've seen what she's going through, and I'm almost sure many, many young men go through that, man. I mean, there's some that, you know, there's probably, dad's not there, but he's there, but he's not there.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll feel, you know, that the son may have, where's my dad? That he's in the house, but he's not there. Mm. And he sees mom struggling. That has been a means of ambition for some men as well. Mm. So when seeing in your case, mashallah, it's amazing. Dad is there.
He's there.
Exactly. You communicate with him. His words of gold. He was an entrepreneur as well.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Right? And he was there, absolutely was.
MashaAllah.
I hate to cut you off,
please.
I wish he could hear this. He would call every day from the moment he was put in prison till, I think, until 20. So keep in mind, I'm 11 years old when he's put in prison, around that age. Until the age of minimum 20, 21, 22, every day that he could possibly call, he would call for Fajr and ensure that I'm awake.
Wow.
So the fatherhood did not stop.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I like to say that my mother is definitely my favorite person in the world. But bro, for the longest time, I just felt like he was beyond... like human, like he. I always just thought of him as a Superman. Until I'm, bro, that's what a kid thinks. I'm saying until I'm like in my 20s, this is the guy.
To like achieve that status.
Yeah. So when it hit you all, right? Okay, Dad's not here. We have to step up. How did you all get into your entrepreneurial endeavor? And then stay in that. Like, where was the manifestation of ambition for you all? You know, you realize, okay, Dad's probably not going to come home soon. Mom, the situation that she's in right now, we have to step up and contribute and step up and take care of our sisters and mom as well.
Watching our mother in the situation that she was in. But then also, alhamdulillah, beyond that, our childhood was great. Again, our mother enabled us to just be very happy, right? And instilled a lot of good characteristics in us, which meant work in whatever you do, work hard, right? Alhamdulillah. It wasn't necessarily geared towards being an entrepreneur or doing your own thing or starting your own business. It was just whatever you do, put your all in it, 100%. And then in terms of how that converted to business, I'll allow absolutely.
I would love to romanticize it to make it seem like for the viewers and for the show, but it would be fake if we said our main driving point was we need to get out of this struggle and we need to take care of our family. And although that may be a subconscious thing that's in our minds and in our hearts, I think what Sama said was spot on. I think it was that do everything with tenacity, with just make sure you do it at 100%, don't give up on it. And if you give up on it, look at me. Like, look at your mom. Like, look what she's been doing. Of course, you have your dad calling you and being your business advisor and pushing you from a prison. And he was moved all over the place. I think at this time he was in Atlanta or something, pushing you, saying, it's in your genes. Do it. Do it. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? Do it. Do it. Do it. You know? And this guy that you, that you look up to and praise is telling you, maybe your role model came in and he was saying, do it. You'd be like energized. You'd be ready to go. So he, he pushed me. And I think my mom set the stage as for both of us, for all of us in our family, really all of us in our family, not just me and Osama, but my sisters. We all have that same ambitious. We're going to do it no matter what. No questions asked. Just get it done. Essentially in college, some things happened and I decided, that's it. Something just weird happened, clicked in my body, was like, had an idea, and I didn't think about business growing up. It just, that idea clicked a year before I thought of, I want to get in business. I was playing soccer, I wanted to become a physical therapist or whatever, and all of a sudden I was just like, wait a second, I want to do business.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird, very weird. And when I talked to my dad, he was like, yeah, it's in your genes, that's why, it woke up, it was hibernating for a few years, we did it, and subhanAllah, I was thinking, and my mom, hopefully she hears this, because we joke about it every now and then. I remember saying, Mama, if you could just, invest in me by giving me your credit card so I can pay for gas every week. That's all I need, just gas money to get from here to school to the office, because I was going to school when we started the company. She was like, Mohammed, you can't. Like, I barely have anything at the end of the month. How am I supposed to budget in an extra $100, a month for you? That doesn't make any sense. And I was like, Mama, just trust me. I promise you, I'll pay it back. And it's subhanAllah, literally a year and a half, 2 years later, I remember in Mama's house. Before choosing to get married, I'm not trying to brag, because I truly did it out of I wanted it, it was love. Believe me, if it wasn't, I would have not, cared to do that. Selfish tendencies will definitely come out. You would buy yourself a car or, a home, a Rolex, get married, all this other material stuff. You see all these people doing that before they take care of their own family, which is mind-blowing. And before, I remember sitting in her room with you, and we were I was like, Mama, I made it. I'm making more than you now. I'm making more than you. I'm in college. I'm making more than you. And we were all laughing, and I was like, Mama, okay, I'm ready to retire you. Do you remember that? I was like, I'm ready to retire you.
How old were you?
I was 22. I was, I was 22 years old. So I had just started my master's. I just finished my undergraduate going into my master's.
Okay. Yeah. So you were studying and you started a business while you were studying?
Yeah, in my undergraduate, my junior year of my undergraduate year. Yeah.
Okay.
We started a pediatric clinic, speech occupational therapy. And at the time, I had hired my second therapist. And because of that second therapist, now I was going beyond a break-even point, and I was, at this point of profiting, and we profited. I was making at that point maybe like about $5,000 a month, and you know, as a 21-year-old in college, you know, who has no business experience, no nothing, making more than your mom, that was like, I was on an ultimate high.
That was like
a
threshold for you.
Yeah, and it was consistent. It was consistent. It's healthcare. It's very consistent. Yeah. I mean, alhamdulillah, today we have 100 people working there, but at the time, two people was like, I was like, you know, that's it. Yeah. I made it. I didn't even think, you know, so I told my mom and listened to her response. She said, Muhammad, Wallah al-Azim, I remember it like it was yesterday. She said, Muhammad, no, don't retire me. Are you kidding me? I can do a couple more. I have a couple more years in me. I have more, a couple of years in me. Just save up, keep going, keep going. Like save up, and then when it's, you know, when it's at a certain point, then retire me. Even at that point, she didn't feel entitled. Like, she would have never believed in a million years that me and Osama would be able to retire her and, until we're maybe 30 or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Year later, me and Osama started another business in solar.
I just saw the market was open. I mean, what?
A long story, but Osama and my cousin worked, Yusuf worked at a solar company that was just doing installation. They were essentially on the roof putting the panels down. Right. Summer jobs.
Right. Summer jobs.
And I had a good year, and I thought I was Elon Musk. And I approached Osama, and I was like, Osama, Yusuf, what do you guys think? Let's do this together. And we all agreed, and subhanAllah, it like blew up. Over there, we have 175 people, employees.
But you see the show, what I take away from the story.
Yeah, okay.
The ambition side of it is... could almost define it as not making excuses to stop or to fail or whatnot. Yep. You know, like you had growing up, you're like, oh, you know, I grew up without my father, most of my, oh, you know, I came from a low-income family, kind of struggling, so I, you know, I could barely pay for my gas. Like there was many moments where you just could have like had that excuse.
Yes.
But ambition is where like you take out all excuses. You're like, no, I want to do this. And I don't care what it takes. You know, that's ambition.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think before this, you mentioned something that I think it ties into what I want to say. You defined confidence as a combination of two things. Yeah. I think it was courage.
Courage and humility.
And humility. Like ambition is great. Courage is great.
Yeah.
Right? And it's necessary to find out whether or not you're going to fall into the best qadar that Allah has kind of, or one of the paths that Allah has destined for you, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're doing your part, you're the best that you could do to find out if you're going to get the maximum of what was already written for you. Mm-hmm. I cannot explain how many scenarios, how many situations that the business should have just collapsed.
Really?
And then something happens, right? Like, what are the odds?
Crazy.
Right?
Something
just out of the
world.
You didn't expect it.
You know,
never expected it. It falls on our lap.
I want to tell you one thing, Shaykh. The Prophet said, da'wat al-mazloom mustajaba. Da'wat al-ab li-ibnihi mustajaba. And, you know, their father has both. And he's making a lot of du'a for them.
It ties perfectly to what I wanted to conclude with, and exactly why I think, or one of the main reasons as to why we wanted to share this message for the sake of our parents, our mother and our father, to spread the message of our father and the men that are in there with him. That absolutely, like if you look at our current state and you look at, it's a perfect storybook. Mm-hmm. Like the father goes to prison and the children, alhamdulillah, are given rizq. We of course, we worked hard. People work harder than us, man. Wallahi, it's a perfect balance. As like you said, it's the confidence is understanding that you need to work hard, but not convincing yourself that the work got you there. Just always reminding yourself that there's someone smarter than me, but alhamdulillah that I've been placed on this path that is a path of rizq. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
and I better be doing, you know, we all have our shortcomings and we all have our ups and downs, but we try our best to do the best that we can with the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. But I just wanted to make that clear, yeah, that I definitely agree that there's a direct correlation 100%. between our father's situation and this.
You know what they remind me of, Sheikh?
What's that?
You know, in Surah Al-Kahf, when Musa alayhi salam asked Khadr, why did we build this jadar, this wall for nothing in the middle of nowhere? What did Allah say?
Nah.
He said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا.
Nah,
he said they had a father that was righteous.
Nah.
So Allah sent us to take care of them.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that preservation.
Yes.
Almost, you know.
100%.
No, and I think that's important, you know, because I mean, we have to remember that Shaitan is real. That Satan will come to you and he'll say, look, why are you doing this? You don't know anything about this industry. You know, there's people out there that are much better than you. Mm. You know, people are looking at you. Are you sure you want to? Mm. So that can kind of play a role in weakening of that ambition or that fire that was there. But I think what's really beautiful about you brothers is the perseverance, you know. And that's a characteristic of someone that's ambitious, that they persevere throughout all of the trials and the tribulations or the tests. And like when you realized what was really going on, you know, while you're in school, establishing, going through with an idea, because, you know, a lot of people have ideas, but then when you actualize that idea, it's a whole other level. And like you mentioned right now, how, you know, you faced so many roadblocks and pushing through. Wallahi, that is so important for a man. Wallahi, that is so important. It's now that you're going to have a family and children, those roadblocks, you know, you know, there's probably going to be brothers out there that's lost their job, you know, and the children are looking at them. And mashallah, how you mentioned, you know, your mother, you know, when they're in court, you're not really understanding what's going on. You know, you as a father, you're going to have to look back and, you know, subhanAllah, you know, you won't be able to tell them, look, I lost my job, all this is going on, or sales plummeted, or we lost, you know, this many employees. Yeah. But you have to keep moving on, persevering. Yeah.
And you put on that, like as a father, you know, you come home and you never tell your kids. You always make them feel like they're comfortable no matter what your situation is. Like they're okay no matter what your situation, you know?
But also on the other hand, being that this is the Qadr of Allah, let's talk about the goodness that has come out from this situation for my father. Before he went, was he a hafiz al-Qur'an? No, sir. Is he a hafiz al-Qur'an now? Yes, sir. Before he went,
don't just breeze by that. He memorized the Qur'an and...
Yes, alhamdulillah. I'm still convinced he's not human. But...
I love that.
His daily routine is vigorous exercise, reading, staying up to date on politics, and our industries sometimes more than us. So he'll send us letters of newspapers, of magazines, of content, and kind of news headlines that we don't know about. He's always asking for, you know, financial updates on our businesses. He's kind of advanced his career right now into, I think, Fath al-Bari. I think he just likes to find a ton of books.
Yeah.
As a series, and is like, let's start.
Let's start
with volume one to volume.
Yeah.
So it has been on one end, of course, you know, it's a test, but on the other end, it's like there's so much
good
that came out of it. And because of this, I promise you, wallahi, I promise you, there was never a day that I felt embarrassed, never a day that we felt sad. Or angry, I would say, or upset, or shameful, or something like this. Yeah. Always proud, always proud. And I think that's a ni'mah for us,
of course,
for Allah to instill in us the rida, I guess, right? The content.
You know, a father's only worry in that moment, you know, leaving a family behind like that is what's going to happen to his wife, his kids, you know, his everything. I didn't even teach my son how to, you know, shave his beard, how to trim his, you know, mustache, how to do anything. And so, of course, his worry is I can't imagine, I mean, you as a father, me, a new father, I can't imagine, you know, going for life and leaving my little child. You know, that's like an insane thought. So although some people, you know, feel sad and feel, I feel like he is on a mountain right now. He feels higher than ever. Like Osama said, he's a hafiz, he's memorized the Quran, he's converted countless people. You know, he's looked at there as a light in the prison. Everyone looks at him as a wise man. When he walks into the visitation room, when we go visit him, he's shining, white beard, white skin, completely white, like as if like he's like a light walking into there, and everyone's looking at him and like this, you know, like hey, like that, you know, and he's looking and he's walking and feels like he's shrinking because he's getting older. He's 70 years old, but wow, he just walks in there and he just, it's a wise man, like you said, like a non-human figure. He's walking in, you know, subhanAllah. And anyways, he's on a mountain. He's like, my sons are good, my daughter is amazing, my wife is taking care of my, you know, my little Down syndrome son that I left, you know, with my wife and six kids. He's, you know, the chief snacks officer in our office, you know, putting snacks away, playing games. Like, he feels truly, I'm so content with where my father is right now in his life, because he feels like he's on top of the world. He feels everything is done, and the only thing that would make me happier is coming out and spending the rest of my life with my wife. And that's it, you know, somewhere in Turkey, that's it. Everything is taken care of. Everything is taken care of.
Wow.
You know, and that makes me content, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone should be like that, too.
We are working, by the way, just want to say we are working on a campaign right now behind the scenes that will be released. I say we, primarily, 100% my sister, Noor El-Ashri, is leading this effort. But I think when the right time comes, when everything is prepared, I think we would love to, at one point, share this information as well. So.
You know, one thing that I'm really observing from this is, you know, we talked about another series, about another show, about how Khadija radiallahu anha was the source of inspiration for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he received the revelation. You know, he went to her and he said, "Inni khashitu ala nafsi," when he received "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," you know, the first revelation. He went to Khadija, the source of inspiration, right? And subhanAllah, you know, just countless times I'm hearing, you know, Noor, my mother, Noor, Sister Noor, my mother. And then you mentioned earlier, you know, your cousins, your uncles, that they are also incarcerated because there was a connection with your father. The strong family unit. I mean, the main reason we're doing this show on masculinity is the establishment and preservation of families.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the ultimate goal behind this show. And that's the ultimate goal behind, you know, me wanting to talk about this for young men, because if young men grow up and not wanting to have families, not wanting to get married, they're caught into the isms and schisms and pill, red pill, whatever pill that it may be, you know, they don't want to establish any kind of family, you know, subhanAllah, it's going to be very difficult to see individuals like yourself.
Allahumma.
So when we're seeing, you know, the strong, I mean, there's nothing. The Prophet ﷺ said ummuk three times for a reason. And then, thumma abuki, and after that, your father, for a reason. You know, that is the glue, mashallah, tabarakallah. You know, there's nothing like a strong mother. You know, and then there's nothing like this young son looking at the strong mother and not knowing anything else except that strength, right?
Mm.
But all of it together, that's what makes Islam so beautiful, and that's what makes, you know, Allah being al-Khaliq, just a beautiful process in thinking and pondering over it. How he creates the male and the female, and their natural characteristics coming together is like when I'm almost sure when your father talks to you, he's telling you something in a different way than mom would tell you.
Oh, yes.
And all of it together is what made you who you are today, and still is. I mean, we're still growing up.
Yes.
You know, and then with your sisters, I mean, I'm hearing is strength as well. I mean, like, and persist and ambition. I mean, it's not like when we talk about these characteristics, ambition, integrity, that is not present in females.
Yeah.
No. It's present in females, but in the way that Allah has created them. And that's what's beautiful, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the manifestation of family, and we use the term extended family, but family all together and establishing and raising each other. And that's beautiful. Alhamdulillah.
That's beautiful. Shaykh, you know, it's we gotta say this. It's necessary. You know, we gotta call out all the moms out there.
Definitely.
You know, because you know, this, you are the source of ambition for your sons. You want them to be men. You are the one that makes them into men.
Right?
Because even when you reflect on the Prophet ﷺ and his wives, like, you know, he was married to Khadija, and Khadija was the source of strength for him, right? But he also had other wives, alayhi salatu wasalam. Each one had her personality, right? Like Khadija wasn't like Sauda, or like Umm Salama, or like Aisha. Each one had their own kind of personality. But Khadija was the one that was needed for that period of time, the beginning of the Risala. Yeah. You know, so the moms need to be like those Khadijas.
Right.
That empower. I remember my mom when I was growing up, subhanAllah, Palestinian. Similar, my mom didn't work. She was a housewife. My father worked hard. He worked long hours. But my mom was always like, you got to grow up and own a business, Yama. You got to do this. And then she would tell my dad, why don't you buy him this business? Let the kids run it. He already knows this. And kada, kada. She's always like, my mom had that entrepreneur mindset, right? So Allah yahfadha. And I had my first business when I was like 21. Right, I was still in college. I had a mechanic shop, and I used to go to like a dealership, a little dealership, buy and sell cars and fix them and stuff like that. So, and I was making money. I remember like my mom, when I came home, I would sell cars, and I was like 21. I'm like, Baba, you know, I made more money than you this month. You know? Like, and then he's like, yeah, Baba, but look how dirty your hands are. My dad didn't like that. He's like, that's why I'm paying for you to be an engineer. I'm like, why? He's like, I go wear a tie and sit in an office all day. And, you know, I didn't like that. I was always like a little hustler, you're right? I like to move stuff. But my, subhanAllah, it was the mom that always pushed. Mm-hmm. It was the mom that always pushed. The dad kind of gives you guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But the mom,
exactly.
The mom pushes.
That's how I felt like.
Yeah, yeah. The dad kind of steers a little, but the mom is the one that like gives you that confidence and that ambition. So shout out like to the moms out there listening, inshallah, definitely you are the main contributor towards ambition. I think that's what we learned from today's experience.
Sheikh Abdullah. Yeah, and as we started the show, I mean, my shout outs to my mother as well, mashallah, may Allah, you know, guide her, inshallah, to Islam. But definitely that natural characteristic of, you know, I'm thankful for her calling on me at 16, 17, asking what I'm going to do, you know, in my life and how I'm going to, you know, live out that legacy, you know, of the family. And subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you for coming, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our mothers particularly, because those are the ones that help in making us men. It's not only just the fathers, though the father has his role in his position, uncles have the role in their position, the mom without a doubt has a primary role and position in making us ambitious men. Jazakallah khair for tuning in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you brothers, mashallah, Usama Muhammad. And Allah, brother Murad. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.